A woman approached an usher in the foyer of a church, and the usher asked her, "Where would you like to sit?" And she said, "Right up front, please." And the usher said, "You don't want to sit up there. Our pastor's really boring." And the woman said, "Do you happen to know who I am?" "No," he answered. And she said, "I'm the pastor's mother," she said indignantly. So the man brought her up to the front and helped her be seated. And then he asked her, "By the way, do you know who I am?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Good." And he turned and left. Who we know matters. Starting a series on relationships, and I happened across an image that I thought was a good image for relationships, and that is a bridge. And all of a sudden, I remembered a historical thing I saw a long time ago, way before I moved to the western side of Washington State. Does anybody recognize this photo? Was anybody alive when it happened? I think a couple are here who was alive when it happened. Yeah. This is the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. It's the first one, first of three, so to speak. The second and third stand right now. The first one was two-lane bridge built in 1940. The current Washington Department of Transportation website says it's a beautiful, slender, elegant, and graceful ribbon. I got the order of that wrong. But anyways, stretched like a steel ribbon across the Puget Sound, the third largest suspension span in the world, and the moment it opened, July 1, 1940, 4 months later, the great span's short life ended in disaster. It collapsed in a windstorm on November 7. It's famous as the most dramatic failure in bridge engineering history. Now, I'm going to tell a story next week. Has anybody seen the video of this thing, rocking and rolling? Yeah, it's quite a story, and we've learned a lot since then. Humans have built some amazing structures, but this one wasn't one of them because it was a giant lesson in engineering, and it would shake, and once it got started, it would keep shaking. So it reminds me of relationships. Relationships connect people, and they're a third thing between those people. Our attempts, especially I think the most important relationship, our relationship to God, and our attempts to know God on our own terms as humans have been a part of our spiritual history from the beginning. And these attempts to know God on our own terms are silly at best and harmful to ourselves and others. And they're doomed to fail because who we know matters. And God has revealed himself to him. And so if we will listen to him and respond to him, we can know him. But if we try on our own terms to know him, it doesn't look nice, just like that. We're happy to say Jesus already built the bridge for us, and Jesus is the way. So I want to turn to the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And I invite you to turn there with me. The last night before Jesus went to the cross, he shared a lot, and a whole lot of it was preserved in John for us. This is the middle part where Jesus says, "Abide in me," and there's the image of the vine and the branches, and I love this passage. There's some really neat things he says here, and I just encourage you, if you would, stand with me as soon as you have it. John 15, and some of y'all are listeners, and that's fine too. Just listen, you know? Close your eyes if you want. Do whatever it is to help you hear these words, not just on the page, but for ourselves and our hearts and our lives. And let's ask God to bless these words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that your Spirit would speak these words to us, Lord, as words of life. May we hear with our hearts and our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. John 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Amen. What beautiful word from the Lord Jesus to his disciples. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. I hope it's obvious here that God is relational to the core. That is who God is. God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so even before the beginning of creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God existed in Trinity. God is relationship, and he created out of that loving relationship. And every time I hear John 15, I just hear the heart of the Father as one of love. Did you hear that today? It just beats so strongly here. God could have remained distant from us when we sinned and turned from him. Our sin separated us from him, but from the very beginning, God was coming to us and coming back to us. And even while he was giving consequences to Adam and Eve, he was announcing his plan of salvation and his hopes for them. And it's beautiful to hear his heart of love. And here in John 15, Jesus talks about sin and love and helping others. But it all comes back to relationship, knowing him, being rooted in him. He knows that. He's the one bringing everything back to relationship in the heart of things. And so let's dwell on Jesus' care for us. I hear it here in three ways. First of all, Jesus reveals his heart. In verse 15, he says, "Everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." The Father's heart, his heart for us. He wants us to know what he's doing. And Jesus even sounds like an oversharer here, right? Sometimes my kids ask, "What are we doing tomorrow?" Well, sometimes I know, sometimes I don't know. They're happy for me to tell them, usually. Some things I tell them they're not excited about. But they just want to know. And as a loving father, I've learned, oh, it's good for me to tell even my guesses and thoughts. You know, sometimes it's like, well, we're going to vote on something. Well, I realize it's good for me to tell them. Here's the options in advance. And as a loving heavenly father, it's God who's showing us and himself to us. People often talk about God as if he's distant, don't they? But if we look at our lives, so often we realize we're the ones who are distant. He's revealed his heart to us in the spiritual history. And just like Jesus was being an oversharer, like this is a lot, right? It really is. And I talked to an atheist once who felt like, you know, that having a bunch of strict rules, that's the way he thought of the Bible, as a bunch of strict rules as not being from a God of love. But I said, you know what? Why don't you put your whole entire worldview down on paper and it never gets to change and see how you do with that and see if that's an encouragement to others. And he realized in his own life, I think, his rules have changed and his thoughts have changed. But God himself shared everything to all of us, all of his people from the beginning, this beautiful revelation. And there's some challenging stuff for sure, but God wants us to know his heart. And so a good question for us is, do we take time each day to listen to this one that we love? Do we take time with the Bible and reading it? Are we just gaining information? Or if you read it multiple times, maybe we're finding inspiration and we're looking for what he's saying for us in this day. And opportunity sometimes, you know, if you repeat something enough, you may know it by heart. And guess what? God wants us to know some of this by heart. And so he wants us to spend time in his word. And when we pray, the Spirit reinforces what we've read and speaks to us about it and reminds us through the day what is important, what's right and wrong, and what we need to do. And so he wants us to spend time in this and to spend time listening to him. The Father sent the Son, who sent the Spirit to us, and God has been a revealing being from the very beginning. And Jesus says he revealed everything. That's a hard thing for me because Who do I reveal everything to? Who do any of us reveal everything to? You know, for a lot of people, it's not safe to reveal everything to most of the people in our lives, you know? But it depends on who that person is, right? Who do you tell about your fun experiences? Who do you talk with about the weather? And then who do you tell about your planned inheritance? Who do you tell about your work duties? You know, those who are at work, right? Or who do you tell the secret way into your home if the keys are locked inside it, you know? Like, we have different layers that we tell people, different things. It just depends on who they are in our lives, the depth of their relationship and what they have to offer. And of course, we can talk to God about everything, and please do. But we don't generally tell everyone, we don't generally tell anyone everything. When we say we've told everything, we'll say things like we spilled our guts, you know? We told it all. We usually mean we've told everything important, everything related to the topic. We've held nothing back. That's what Jesus is saying here. I don't think Jesus told his disciples literally everything. For those of us who are sometimes literalists, I don't think he told them literally everything. He only had 3 years with them, right? But he told them everything they would need for their life, everything they needed to follow him. I thought through this passage and some others, and he told them of his heart of love for them. He told them how to live holy lives. He told them enough to write the Gospels and the epistles. That was a lot all by itself, you know? He told them how to withstand persecution and how to be ready for the last days. And I just gave a few verses on there. There's obviously a lot more than just that, but Jesus told them these things. And these are just some of the basics of what he said. But enough to continue the mission, enough they had what they needed. He told them everything. Now, you can know everything you need for your part in this mission. You can be sure that you have everything you need based upon what God has shown you. And God will also continue to reveal to each of us throughout our lives by his word and by his spirit and through the mouths of loved ones or Christians who know us and who are mature and who can help us. Everything we need, he will tell us. Do you believe that? Amen. It's important for us to know this. God called me to be a pastor when I was in high school, and I've told you my uncertainty with that and all that. And there was one point in college where I realized, you know what, I should probably take notes. And so when pastors would preach, I would take notes. And it wasn't only the times where they had little note sheets in the Bible or in the bulletins when they handed them out, you know, but it was also other times. I just always made sure I kept paper in my Bible and I was always taking notes. And it was amazing how much I learned when I took notes. And there's other lessons I know that we can use for helping us retain what we're hearing when someone's teaching or preaching. But I just want to say that when we pay attention, God can use those things in such a powerful way. And so I just want to encourage us to listen to the God who's revealing himself, because he wants us to know him. And that's really the beauty and the heart of all of that, that Jesus revealed and is revealing himself so that we can know him. What a beautiful God we serve. Amen. I didn't quite hear you. That's all right. Next time. You'll get it next time. That's good. The second thing is that Jesus expressed his love to us. Now, some of us here today might mentally check this box and say, okay, I said I love you, I prayed, next thing, right? Now, I was trapped a little in this lie when I was young, because I thought as a young adult, you know, reason trumps feelings every time. And then I learned, well, feeling can follow our reasons, you know, but it turns out the heart has reasons that reason itself doesn't know. It turns out a lot of the things people tell you their reason for doing something, they decided on afterwards. It turns out our hearts don't exactly follow reason. And I realized that simply knowing something isn't enough. That knowing is a part of it, but there's another part in the middle, and that is expressing. And I noticed here that Jesus is expressing his love to the disciples so they can hear it. And feelings are involved in expressions, of course, but they're not primarily just feelings. Jesus is expressing his love, and it's feelings, but it's not just that. I heard a powerful story. In 1993, at the USC Medical Center in Los Angeles. A 31-year-old woman suddenly burst into the ER with a .38 revolver in her hand. She found the nurse she was angry at, and she fired off 6 rounds, striking the nurse in the abdomen and the wrist. The nurse was able to crawl away. There was another nurse there named Joan. Joan saw this woman and calmly walked up to her and embraced her. And she spoke comforting words into the ears of this assailant. The assailant said she had nothing to live for. She relayed that that other nurse had been with her husband, and that was the end of her life. And the nurse continued to hold her and hug her until eventually the assailant gave up her gun. It seemed like it was an eternity. But she was disarmed by a hug. She was disarmed by love, by understanding and compassion of one of her fellow employees. When asked later why she risked her life that way, Joan Black said, "I saw a sick person and wanted to care for her." And friends, if God calls you to something as extreme as that, please do it. But an expression of love can do so much for us. Jesus expresses his love. I read this book called The 5 Love Languages. Great book. And when another book came out, I thought, they're just making money. The title was The 5 Love Languages of God. And I thought, well, okay, we'll give us a try. It was a good book. And it reminded me of all the ways that God expresses his love for us. And also ways we can express love back to him. I just want to share a few insights from that and other things in life that has helped me. Because it is so, so important for us to express our love to God. And also to receive his love for us. And so I'll ask, do you take time to talk back to God, to talk with him, to express your praise and honor to him, and especially words of affection? You can listen to Jesus doing that right here. It's powerful in John 15. Also, physical affection. That might seem like a weird one, physical affection with God, and yet sometimes letting ourselves be hugged by someone who's part of the family of God can say so much to us. And also, remember, Jesus held children, and Jesus held those who were untouchable. And so sometimes we can be the hands and feet for those who need it, and also receiving his love in unexpected places. Also, gifts, you know, giving to others. Sometimes we get a gift from somebody and they just say, "We're thinking of you." And it reminds me that God gives us unexpected gifts. Anybody ever get an unexpected gift from God and you just knew it was from him? What a joy. But then also, on the other side, we can also give things back to him. Just like that thought of we're thinking of him, you know, and giving him something special. You know, sometimes loved ones will drop hints, right? Well, God drops hints too, you know. Just got to be open to listening for him. And quality time, we kind of talked about that, but I don't mind bringing it up, just mentioning it. And then acts of service. Some of you, this is your love language. This is how you express love. Well, Jesus said, "Whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me." Are there opportunities in our world today for acts of service? It's good to remember the one we're doing it for. Yeah. And also, not just expressing our love, but also, last but not least, obeying. Jesus talks about it here in this passage, and it's striking to me that even though the Gospel of John is called the love gospel and the epistles are called the love epistles, Jesus obeyed the Father. And he tells us, even in the heart of those passages where he's talking about love, He never lets it get away from us thinking that we can sort of love God and then ignore what he says. And so he brings it around and he talks about obedience. Jesus obeyed the Father. And that sounds a little weird to say, maybe. Well, Jesus is God, right? Of course he obeyed himself. I mean, what does that even mean? Well, it says to me a few things. First of all, Jesus had integrity. Jesus didn't just, you could say God didn't just give the law and say, now y'all do that. There's a lot of points in scripture where it's taking pains to show us how God himself is true to that. And Jesus himself was going about it. And then when Jesus was fighting about the law, we were talking about this in Sunday school today, Jesus was fighting with the Pharisees about the law. He condemned the commandments of men, but he always upheld the law. So there's a simple matter of integrity, and Jesus had integrity. It's a good reminder for us. And then secondly, it also means that Jesus was our example. This ain't Mother's Day yet. Here's a couple weeks advance notice for the guys and the kids here. But Jesus obeyed his mom, right? Now that's important to say. Jesus was our example, and he showed us by grace that it can be done. So he obeyed his heavenly Father. He obeyed his mother. And not only can it be done, it's enjoyable and it's full of God's blessing. And so he reminds us to do this thing. And we could say a lot more, but Jesus tied love to obedience. And I appreciate that because sometimes we question God's commands, right? It's not just the four-year-olds, but it might be the four-year-olds in us, right? We ask God why. It's okay to ask God why. But at some point in our life, we kind of have to stop asking God why and just obeying him, and then maybe we find out the why. And sometimes you do find out the why when you obey. But if you only question him, it's saying something about our obedience. At some point, we have to say, yes, Lord, and turn the why into a how, or however you have to do it. Say yes, Lord, and obey. Even if God asks you to do something, he's not asking anyone else. And you ask your friends, what does this mean? They may say, I don't know. He hasn't asked me to do that. But still, if you know it's him, we can say yes by his grace. One example of that, my parents were children of the World War II generation. And for the men in the World War II generation, a whole bunch of them never expressed their love outwardly or in public or anything like that. Anybody see that? So my dad was raised in that kind of household. He was not hugged by his father regularly. He was not told by his father, I love you, not regularly in any way. And at some point he realized, for the sake of us kids, he had to do that stuff. And it's not that he didn't want to, it's just that that wasn't done. Like, that wasn't the example. He didn't see that. But he started doing it. And he would hug us and say, I love you. And sometimes as a teenager, okay, all right, fine, you know. And it wasn't a whole lot of times he did that. But at one point, as a young adult, I remember him apologizing to me on the phone. We no longer live in the same household. I forget what city I lived in at this point. But on the phone, he told me, I'm sorry, it's been a couple weeks since I called you. And I thought, well, that's a weird thing to say. Like, we don't talk every week. And then I realized he apologized because his commitment was to call me every week. And I thought, wow, like that said, his apology said a whole lot more for me than anything, because I realized his commitment to show me love was to call me more than I needed or more than I necessarily wanted. I wasn't even thinking about it. And yet he expressed that love to me, and how powerful that was. And also to see my parents grow in a way that they thought would be helpful for us, even though their parents didn't model it, just how powerful that was for me. But you could say Jesus modeled it, right? And so his example for us is what we need. And so friends, I don't know where you're at today. I know I mentioned a new series and it being about relationships, and maybe you feel like I juked you because we're talking about, not about a human relationship here. That's fine. We're going to get into a bunch of those. Next week, I'm excited to look at a spiritual friendship because I think that's something that's so desperately missing in our day and age. And it's hard sometimes to get to, but how powerful it is for us. I'm just so excited for it. And I want to say before we go that Jesus truly means what he says here. I know we know that in our heads, but sometimes we have to experience it in our hearts. Jesus loves us. Jesus showed the love of the Father to us. And he loved us so much that even though he went up to the right hand of the Father, he sent his Spirit. so that his presence could be among us and in all of his people all the time. That was his love for us. And so it affects how we live as his people, and he's calling out to us so that we can experience his love. And so we can start and end our day with prayer. I just want to encourage that. Some of us, one of them is the longer prayer. Great, wonderful. One of them is the shorter prayer. That's fine. Let God guide you in this, but spend some time with him every single day. That's my encouragement to you. You notice he wants it, right? I wish we had like a device time that showed like how much time we spent with God just alone with him. We could put it on the list and see it versus the other things that we're doing, you know? Wouldn't that be great? Helpful? Yeah. Exciting? Not necessarily. But encouraging to us to remind us how much time God does want to spend with us, face to face, so to speak. And his love affects our every decision, our plans, our schedules, our budgets. All he is to be used for his purposes, right? And so he has advice for us. He has thoughts for us. If we listen to him, we'll hear those things. And so I want to help us with some questions here. In those three kinds of ways of knowing, do you keep getting to know God? I probably could have worded that better. Of course, reading our Bible helps because that's an intake. We can understand him better. Underlining it really helps for me because I can go back and find stuff. And then reflecting on it and helping us keep going with that throughout the day. You know, if the Bible wears out because we've underlined it so much, you can get it rebound. Or you can get a brand new one. There's lots of great Bibles out there. Get a quality one. We buy nice all kinds of stuff, you know, from time to time. Buy a quality Bible. You know, whatever God guides you in this, but let your excitement guide you in God's word. And some people read it through every year, and I think that's awesome. But if you're the kind of person that wants to break it up and do something different, you know, find ways to let God speak to you in his heart. Another thing we can do is read a good Christian book. If you have a hard time knowing that God loves you, sometimes a really good book will help you. A couple books that have helped me with this are Abba's Child by Brennan Manning and Healing for Damaged Emotions by David Siemens. And I've got a couple of those on my shelf if you want to borrow. How powerful those things are. And there's lots of other great books, but something that can help you understand the heart of God. Read. And also, join a small group. This is one of the best ways that we grow, is by participating in a small group. You know, study God's word with others. Ask questions. Participate. And even invite accountability with others. And small groups is a wonderful way to do that. So that's that, receiving his love, knowing him, and then also expressing our love and experiencing his expression of love to us. Sometimes singing the praises of God, I can just feel his presence when I do that. Anybody with me on that? There's a new song by John Mark McMillan I can't get out of my head called I Have Wanted You All My Life. And it's fascinating. It's so poetic the way he says that because it reminds me, I'm not sure as a sinner I literally wanted him all of my life, actually. But there's this great call of God, this drawing call, that there's a part of it that has been with me from the beginning. And so, oh man, just powerful. I love how a song can get stuck in my heart. Also, there are other arts we can participate in. And if we're not good at it, we just like looking at it or listening to it, whatever, you know, like experiencing God through the arts is a way that I think is very helpful, very impactful for me. And then, the third thing, do we obey God? This one's a little harder. It can be challenging for us, and pastors get accused of meddling. So here we go. Here's just a tiny bit of meddling. Here we go. Is there a sin in your life that's tripping you up? Now, if there is, you might know right away what I'm talking about. I don't know it for you, but you might know right away. If not, you can ask God and he can reveal it. And I'm not saying that there is a sin in life that's tripping you up. I believe in victory and that God gives victory, but it can be helpful for us to know if we're not experiencing God's love, that's one of the things that happens. We know sin separates us from God, so asking him about that. Or also, sometimes we need to take a second step to find full victory. Like we've been battling this thing and we haven't found victory in it yet. There's something else we can do, finding a good resource. to help us with that. Even like a workshop, there's so much available online. Like you want to know how to replace the plumbing in your house, right? You can just go into YouTube and find a good video on that. YouTube has a lot of good free resources on other topics too. And so good Christian topics, be careful, but there's some good stuff out there. Also, another word of caution, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, be careful lest you fall. And how do we do that? Realizing that we can fall is important. And so making sure we have barriers in our life to help us with temptation, like an accountability partner, or just knowing that that we can fall is a good, important thing. And so praying to God and asking for his strength every single day, I think that's so valuable. And also taking up the challenges in your small group, like reporting back to them. All of those things are helpful for us. So I want to invite the worship team to come back up here as we finish up. We've chosen some songs about love, which is great. Good job, worship team. And we're going to receive the offering in just a moment. I just want to say right now, if you need prayer on any of this, today is a good day to pray. Now is a wonderful time. We have altars as just kind of a special place to focus our prayer on the Lord and to receive his grace for us. If you want someone to pray with, you can ask someone. I don't want anyone leaving here today without being secure in the love of the Father. So important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are good. We rejoice in who you are. We praise you. Lord, thank you for your love. We first say thank you. It's undeserved. As Jesus said here in the passage, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And so the sense that we are to remain in your love is so powerful because that's where you want us. You want us to live in your love. And Lord, I want to say today on behalf of anyone who's listening that if you don't want us to serve you so much that we forget who you are. You don't want us to be so busy with life or even spiritual practices that we don't have time for you. You don't want us to be confused about your love for us. You want us to abide in you. That's so powerful to see. Lord, help us not to be distracted. Help us to have a new or fresh sense of your love here today. Lord, help us with anything that gets between us. Help us, Lord. And Lord, as we sing, hear our voices. Hear our expressions of love to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.